Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast this week. If you're listening to this now, you are a fan of our podcast, or maybe you're just checking us out for the first time. We do, this podcast is based on a radio show that happens every day, right, Tom Tokar?
That is right. That's every day. And by the way, I'm the Cum Dog Millionaire.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Tom Tokar, the Cum Dog Millionaire, is here. And we have a show every day. We just got done taping our Thursday episode. You're listening to this on a Friday, hopefully. But this is where we bring you the best of the week from 8 hours of programming. We whittle it down to the best of clips. But by the best of, I mean, we're leaving a lot of best on the table here.
Yeah, it's a toss up on what's the best of, because there's so much good stuff.
It's a really, really fun show, and this week we've got a great episode for you. First up is a clip from our Monday show with Des Bishop and Bonnie McFarlane.
That's right, and we talk about the gray area of consent, because some ladies will tell you they don't want it, which is what Bonnie says in this clip, and turns out they do.
And then sometimes you don't want it, and you really don't want it, and then sometimes you want it, but you... No, I guess there's never a time where you say you want it and you don't. Wait, no, there has been. I've done that before. Yeah. Ian Finance is here. Hey. Just staring at me.
Yes. Just glaring.
I'm the...
Who wants it?
Cum Cat Thousandaire.
That's so true, though. It's like that. I was thinking, like, there's the times you say you don't want it and you want it. There's the time you say you don't want it and you don't want it. There's the time you say you want it and you want it. And then there's... That's sometimes that you say you want it and you don't want it because you're just trying to be accommodating.
That's how I felt about my intro.
What?
That's how I felt about my intro.
Do we want it?
I don't want this. Intro me, don't intro me. I kind of don't. Oh, God, I don't know.
Well, I hope that it was consensual for you, the way I just brought you in.
It was, yes. We made eye contact, and I feel like that was affirmative consent.
Okay, that's good. I did ask you, do you want to come to the podcast and do the podcast? So I feel like you being here.
You did fill out a form earlier.
Yes.
Literally.
Tom is fingering me, and I was apprehensive about it, but now I'm into it.
I made an addendum to
the form. I didn't want it, but now I want it.
Look, there's part of the form that's in crayon, and that's it.
Invisible crayon.
It's invisible ink. Is that permissible by the court of law?
You can only see it with a black light, which we expect you to carry with you when you come to our show.
Yeah.
And that is also in another form that we sent you, an invisible email that told you to bring a black light so you can read the form tomorrow. So if you didn't get any of this, it's kind of on you.
It's your fault. You should always have a black light on you.
Here's Bonnie McFarlane and Des Bishop on Monday.
I don't know. I've never been able to stop making out. Like, once I've started making out with someone, I'm probably going to have sex
with
them. I can't stop it. It's like once it's happening. I liked saying no 100 times and then having sex. Like,
yes,
I know that.
I mean, these are all really interesting conversations
to
have.
This is not, you know, a good
wait,
for now.
You're saying
I'm glad I'm married.
No, because sometimes we.
No.
Like, telling a guy no until it happens.
I'm saying no because I'm like.
No means no, Bonnie.
You know, you're like, oh, my.
Yeah.
I don't think I should be doing this.
It's like the baby is cold outside.
And then it's like, it's just hot. It's just like.
Oh, yeah. And you think, let me just say, I can always be convinced. Like, if a guy, if I'm making out with a guy, I like you enough that I could probably be convinced to fuck you.
Yes.
Yeah, right. But that's the problem. It's like, you want to be convinced, but that's where the confusion happens, because then sometimes you get in a situation like a fellow comedian of ours where he has not... quote unquote read that situation correctly, then he's the bad guy. So it's nowadays I don't think you have to be very clear nowadays.
Like,
do you want it or do you not want it? Or if you're saying no right now, you're saying right now I'm not sure, but let's revisit this in 15 minutes.
That's when it is complicated for sure.
I guess I just want sometimes I just don't want to have an intimate moment with someone if I think they're going to disrespect me after it, and sometimes I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not, and I don't want to be dealing with a guy not calling me who I've given a blowjob to, and I'm like, how dare I? It just feels shitty to do that, to blow someone and then have them blow you off. Like, it's just like,
whoa.
I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And that's always my kind of initial anxiety about blowing someone, is like, this could go.
Would you feel like that if they went down on you first?
Like, if they went down on me first, I'd just leave.
Like, thank you, high five. There's the bathroom. Look after yourself.
I think we're done here.
If they made me come, then I would still feel rejected.
Uh-huh.
It's still, that's the problem. If like, if you hook up with a guy and he doesn't want to continue hooking up with you, even if you don't want to continue hooking up with him,
sure.
let's say you don't want to, but then he doesn't either. You feel rejected and you go, oh, I want to now because he's rejecting me.
Yeah, I mean, that goes both ways.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Self-worth tied up to, you know, rejection or not. That's a deeper issue, you know?
Yes, yes. Mm. It's, I mean, it. And but don't we all suffer that in some way?
I'm totally kidding. I mean, I think the more important thing is that a lot of men think that like it has to happen for them, and a lot of women think they have to make it happen
sure.
for a guy. Otherwise, he's going to go crazy, which I can understand because physically, you literally want to go crazy if you yes. think it's going to happen and it doesn't.
Yes.
But I do think the real conversation needs to be, what does a guy do in a situation where she doesn't want to and he thinks she's pushed him too far? I think the guy has to excuse himself and jerk off. That's
I
personal
agree. I said this whole Louis thing was a bummer to me because I used to like when guys would just jerk off because sometimes I want you to come, but I don't want to touch you and I'm not ready to like facilitate it, but like I don't want you to be in
you
a weird
do it in
mood.
Your presence?
I want to keep hanging out with you.
Yeah, but
after
the difference
this.
Is that it's after you guys have been making out.
Right.
It's not a
right,
direct
right.
comparison to the situation,
no,
the
no.
example that you gave.
No, no. What I'm saying,
but
the difference
people...
between. I'm sorry. Let me say that I meant by the Louis thing is like guys are now like, oh, if I jerk off in front of a girl, it's a weird sex Louis thing. And it's like, no, it's like sometimes we like that.
Yeah.
Right. That's
but I think
I'm
also
saying.
It's good to acknowledge that physically it's a little bit different for a guy than a woman. I'm assuming in that there is a certain energy that can be hard
oh,
to shut
yeah.
off for a guy.
Oh, no, it sucks. Aww, I when a guy.
I'm not complaining. This is a problem. If I shamed you guys for your fucking driving
I'm not saying anything.
The point, this is why you can't have a conversation.
My ball hurts.
No, but it's blue balls. It's bullshit. I'm not talking about blue balls.
What?
I'm just talking
your ego?
No,
yeah, my ego is huge this right is now.
No. Fuck, this is Bonnie who says no. She means yes, which is the antithesis of how you
yes,
teach people.
No, listen, I honestly think like if I was in a situation where I was saying no for real, I would hope the person would know that. But I'm in situations where that's the dance, you know, that's
yes.
the
right,
fun of it,
right.
you know, where
I
we
think,
both
yeah,
know.
But I agree. I believe in the dance,
it
but
is
not everyone's clear on what the
yeah,
dance
not
is.
Not everyone
I agree,
knows
I
it.
I agree, and I my experiences are not the same as everyone else's. So
sure.
That's me. That's my thing.
Yeah. I,
The lack of clarity is a problem in our current discourse.
Sure.
It's amazing to me that more men, I think, that I've started seeing like where more men are that confused about it. You
yes.
know what I mean? And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's like...
Why would you be confused? I mean, like, it's really confusing.
As a guy?
Yeah, it's totally confusing.
No,
now.
I agree. I think, but it's like, I don't know, when you're in that moment. Like, I probably wouldn't really start heavily making out with someone unless I already knew
yeah.
that
yes.
I was
yes.
going to have sex with them.
So when you,
know?
Go, I'm not sleeping with you, and you before you go
yes,
up to their apartment,
right.
that's all the dance.
Yes.
And it's like this
flirtatious. Not everybody has that, though. Like, some people will make out with people that they don't want to fuck.
Right, that's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not, you, listen, I'm not every woman.
No, and I really
me.
Mean
yeah.
I'm not going to fuck you when I say that, but then... When we go up to your, I want to give guys hope in saying that if a girl is making out with you and like has had sex before and is
yeah.
like free with her butt, she could always be convinced if you show her a good time. Like,
yeah,
not,
for sure.
Not
but
she
not
can
always.
Always
yeah.
Let me just say, not always, but like you,
yeah.
I can be convinced when I've thought no, mm-hmm. like I'm not going to. If I will get to a point where I will consent to it and be like, oh, I didn't see this coming, but
right.
he got
right.
me there.
Yeah.
I
but then now I have another thing where I'm like. I would feel a little weird, like, maybe, did I, like, in retrospect, after,
right.
I'd be like, did I, like, make that, like,
yeah.
was
make
I too
someone
pushy?
Do something? Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
that's why
that's...
now I have a form I have everybody sign, and
that's
what you signed when you came in, Dez, so
okay.
I really
my consent
appreciate you doing that.
I hope it was just for hand jobs. Hand jobs is all I have for a guy.
Yeah, it's complicated.
It's very complicated.
It's, but I got some sexts the other day. I talked about it on the radio on Thursday. Did I talk about it on Thursday? Say
yeah.
that I got sex on the way here. Did I talk about it on air or just off air? I don't even remember.
Yeah,
I really
you got
things.
Sexed.
I got sexts on the way to work. It was awesome.
Early.
I was having like a bad like feel
morning.
Like day where you're just like I don't feel great about myself.
Uh-huh.
And then someone from my past
Ooh.
Watched me on bumping mics and was like, "You're so fucking hot on this thing. I'm jerking off." And I was just like, "Whoa!" I was on the one train, just like, "What is happening?" And it was awesome. And I just want to like give a shout out to that guy for like making my self esteem boost like so much in a moment when I literally wrote to him, "I needed this. Thank you." And he's like, "Good." It's
fucking true. And I was like, thank you.
I'm coming.
It's great.
It was in the morning. And I was like, it was great. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, check out Bumping Mics and Jerk Off.
That was fun. Next up, Tuesday's show, we have Kathy Griffin
Holy
in studio
moly.
And Matt Fulcher on. And, you know, we talked a lot about her Trump stuff, and you can hear the whole interview on the SiriusXM app. If you can check out any of these episodes from this week on the app now, they're on demand. But this is, she mentioned getting plastic surgery, which she's famous for, like, having talked about, and I'm obviously fascinated about all that. So I decided to ask her about it, and she said she's done, man.
She was super open about it, and, like, she had a really scary experience. The stuff she says, this was such a good interview.
It was.
Nikki killed it in this one.
Thank
this was
you.
So good. Great questions, great answers.
What are you laughing about over there?
I, the whole time, have been like, I can't hear anything. The soundboard must be messed up. And then I lift up the cord.
Yeah, that's what we gave you. We gave you an unplugged, like when you give a little kid a video game controller. You're not even mic'd, actually.
Oh, see, I wanted this to be like MTV Unplugged, but just with you, Ian, but like literally unplugged. Like I sold it to Ian in the form that we talked about before, where you could own, all the fine print was all written in invisible ink.
This is in there too.
That was part of it, is like your appearance was going to be unplugged. And I know that sounded like it was going to be rugged, like you were going to be telling us that it, like the truth behind.
That's why I wore this jacket.
Yeah. Yeah. But literally, no, it just meant like you wouldn't be able to be heard or hear anything.
That's so good.
So it was just part of the form again. This is all. You're
is
all
that why you guys have me in the hallway right now?
That's right. Yeah.
All right, check it out, guys. This is Kathy Griffin talking about plastic surgery. You
are. Yes.
Tell me both sides of things. What got you into it?
I'm going to tell you the ugly, because I actually. All right. So first of all, I've had a lot of mishaps. So here's the one I have to tell you that is sort of amusing, but sort of not. So I was botched by Botched. You know that show Botched? So one of the guys on Botched, Paul Nassif, I was like 35, and I got this chemical peel above my top lip because he said I had fine lines, which I kind of didn't. And now, like, if I took my makeup off, it looks like I have a white mustache, and I'm so self-conscious about it. Like, if I ever take a picture of myself without makeup, it looks like the Got Milk ad. And it's permanent. So it's been like 18 years or whatever. So I think it's funny that I was botched by Botched. And by the way, Botched, I don't want to go on your show and try to get unbotched. So don't like call me. This is not an outreach. But, you know, I had a facelift and I had my eyes done. And first of all, there's this thing called gravity. So I'm going to be honest, facelifts only last as long as, you know, like your youth lasts. Meaning you can get a facelift and your face is going to go back to the way it was in like 5 years.
Yeah.
But also it's barbaric. Like you have scars all over. It's gross and disgusting and it's painful. So I just stopped doing it because it didn't do anything for me that I thought it would. Like I thought it would make me more hireable or more attractive or more youthful looking or whatever. And then I will say one thing that's great about that changes sort of the industry is it's all about filtering now. So now if you've got the freaking Kardashians doing filters, then I'm saying filter, save the money, save the stitches, and just filter the pictures.
Just
filter the picture. And so I tried to basically physically airbrush my face, and it's funny because people like online, they always say like, your face looks terrible. I'm like, no, I just got older. That's really, why does your face look different? I go, I got older. I got 58, so I look different than when I was on Suddenly Susan at 36.
Yes.
So that's all it was. And I got lipo, and I almost died. I got toxic shock syndrome.
Oh my God.
I wrote an article for Glamour magazine called Lipo Sucks. And seriously, I had to go to the hospital. And it was horrible and painful. And I also wasn't even fat. Like, I thought I was fat.
I know you've
and
never
I wasn't.
Been fat.
I've never been fat.
You've never been fat.
And it's interesting because I have this really cool thing, and I have it framed in my house. And it's my mom's old-timey bathing suit from like the freaking 30s, right? And my whole life, I grew up with my mom thinking she was fat. And I have this bathing suit framed in my house now, and she was never fat either.
No.
So I think it's just a female thing that we think. And I actually, like, I don't know, I guess I shouldn't say this, but I don't like read like those magazines anymore because I can't deal with like looking at these 14-year-olds and
it's so toxic.
Being told like you're supposed to look like this. And so,
and even if you know you're not supposed to, and you look at the images, it still gets in your head. It's subliminal. You don't, it affects the way you see yourself. And so I have to keep my Instagram. I have to keep like real women on there in addition to all the models, because then I will end, you look at yourself and you end up feeling
Less than.
Yes.
Right.
And
then you focus on that instead of what you really want to do, which in our case is tell jokes and be funny. And still, like, even like when you think about like this, I'm going to be vicious. Like, if I look like, you know, Kevin Hart or like any, not Kevin Hart, I mean, Kevin James or like any of these guys that just keep getting sitcom after sitcom after sitcom, never in a million years. So, I mean, not like I'm like some, you know, fitness model, but I do, like, I stay in shape. Well, I do it to stay sane because I'll go cuckoo if I don't like go on these, like, I'm like Forrest Gump. I go on like a 7 mile walk every day like a crazy person. You'll see me tonight at the Brooklyn Bridge about 2 a.m. There's no traffic.
You literally walk at night?
Oh, yeah. I love it. And I, oh, you know what I do? I do the crazy lady arm circles.
Yes.
Which scares off assaulters.
It does.
Right? Nobody is going to mess with the crazy lady.
When I run, I sing and I dance and I look insane.
And then if I pass someone scary, I go like this, woo! And it just scares them. And
That's an ISIS call, I think.
Well, I'm very high ranking. I've been actually cut down to, I'm one of the waitresses there now. They cut me down. But yeah, it's, I think that if you want to work out because it makes you feel good, you should. But this idea of working out to try to fit into a size, you know, child size 6X is ridiculous and sad. And it's an industry that it's kind of going on and on, but I feel like we're kind of making strides. Like, I feel like anything from the Dove campaign to more real women. And I saw Diane Keaton say this great thing at a speech one time, and she goes, I haven't had any plastic surgery. And it was a room full of women who have plastic surgery. And she goes, I just thought it'd be fun if I was the only one. Like an experiment. Right? And who doesn't want to look like Diane Keaton? And let me tell you, it's all about the freaking lighting. Like, I know some like old-timey movie stars, they get that good lighting and they all, like, it takes 30 years off them and then they don't have to have like bloody scars.
It's the scarring and the recovery and the burning
of
the lasers.
And then you can't go anywhere. Like, another reason I haven't had anything done in like a long time is I thought, well, when I used to get that stuff done, I then have to go hunker down, and it's actually depressing because
you're alone.
You're recovering from trying not to be ugly, which is a bummer.
And exhausting.
It's exhausting. I don't know how many episodes of Maury Povich I would watch, and you're just trying to pass the time, and it hurts, and you don't want to like tell a guy,
and
like,
you're embarrassed. You can't.
You got it done because you were embarrassed, and then you're embarrassed when you get it done.
That is definitely the catch of it. Is that when you have stuff done, and I wish more women were open about the laser treatments and the injections that they get, because there's so many shady things going on now. And it's,
can't you just do like lip liner? Like, seriously, like, I was thinking about I don't do lips because I'm just too much of a like. A
and you have great lips, but if you had thin lips, you might look into it.
Well, I am not above a Pam Anderson lip liner. Let me tell you, I will do a lip liner up to my nose. And I just feel like that saves a lot of time and money and pain. So
I'm looking into more and more of this stuff because now the technology of these lasers, you can just have. All these women that have perfect skin and poreless faces, and they're saying that they're using Aveeno lotions or like Walgreens, things you can buy at Walgreens. Yeah. Like, nothing topical makes your pores disappear.
You Those have are to burn lasers. Your face like you're in the movie Backdraft. And by the way, that's what I would
burn
look like.
Yourself.
I would look like a shiny, Jeff Sessions. I would look like a shiny, peely, rosacea nightmare.
And then you are quarantined in your house, and you're right, you can't tell any guys. You can't be honest with men in your life because men go, you're beautiful. They don't get it. And even your friends are mad and they go, don't do it. Cause then that means they have to do it. And they're mad about because I've been in that scenario where I'm like, why would you do that to your face? When really I'm like, no, I have to do it.
You're like, how much was it?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then they also used to tell me this trick where they'd go, like, if I got a facelift, they'd say, get a haircut. And I'm like, what? And they'd say, if you look different, then just tell everyone you got a haircut. I'm like, okay, how stupid are people?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So you know me, I'm like showing people my scars. I used to do this was so twisted. When I used to do shows at this place called Largo, I would actually show slides of my liposuction, and it was mortifying. I mean, until people were like vomiting, I was just like, here it is, ladies. This is what it really is. And it was just these gross bruises on my thighs, which my thighs were
fine. You got lipo on your thighs?
Yes. You know why? Because I thought that I didn't have the type of legs where if you put your legs together, there should be space in between.
Oh, the thigh gap. Yeah.
Like I'm a 13-year-old model. And so I was like, can you slice it? And they're like, yeah. No. That's how my legs are. And so I realized, or I could just jog.
Mm-hmm.
which was way better, and I enjoyed it.
But it sounds like, though, we're very similar. I also had a mom who has always been skinny, thought she was fat, and then I grow up and I'm bigger than her, and I'm like, why are you saying you're fat when I'm literally standing next to you bigger than you? And she's like, it's different on you, you know, and they try to, and so you grow up thinking you're fat. I look back at pictures of myself where I'm like, I felt fat that day, and you weren't.
No.
And so now, knowing that, I try to tell myself when I'm having those moods, I think oftentimes, and I've learned this from a lot of therapy, it's like when I'm depressed, I go to the one thing that I have control over, which is eating and exercising. And so then I just go, you're fat.
Right.
Because that's the only, because it's much more comforting in my brain to go, you're fat, you can control that, than you're maybe depressed that you're lonely or
anything normal.
Feel unloved or something that's a little bit more out of your control. And so when you got when did you say I'm done with all of this stuff? And are you truly done? Are you no longer lasers, anything like that?
Nothing. Because, well, first of all, like I said, I've had some mishaps. Like the lipo thing was really scared the hell
what
out
happened?
Of me.
What happened?
Toxic shock.
That's the period thing. That's the tampon.
Yes. So what it means is that I couldn't, they use the word void, but it means pee. So when you don't pee for like 2 days.
They call it when you don't void?
Yeah. They're like, you're not voiding. And I'm like, wait, what's voiding? And they go, pee.
Involved.
And they freaking sent me home. And you're not supposed to leave the hospital until you've peed because it clears out your organs and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I go home, and then I remember the doctor calls me that night and he's like, have you voided? And I was in so much pain. I go, no, what's going on? And then I remember him saying, I'm sending a nurse over right now. And I'm thinking, that sounds bad.
Yeah.
And then he sent a nurse to my house and she put, get this, a catheter up my freaking vagina, which was brutal. And they keep going like this. It doesn't hurt. This isn't going to hurt. I'm screaming in pain. And I had a catheter for 4 days, and the doctor didn't want to admit that he fucked up. And so I'll never forget this. I walked in, and they used to sneak me in the back room because I was like the shame of the plastic surgery office. And there was another physician there, and he took one look at me, and I think I was green, and he goes, what happened to you? And it was crazy. I will never forget this. That doctor, like, I don't want to say he saved my life, but he starts calling the plastic surgeon. He goes, what did you do to her?
Good.
And do you know how scary it is to be sitting there in pain? And I was almost like half out of it. And I've got a freaking catheter up my vag.
Oh, my God.
I know. And then it turns out that I had to go right to the ER. And the doctor who sort of noticed that I was not well, he made the plastic surgeon go to the ER with me. He like got him in trouble. God. And they took care of me and everything was fine after that. But it was like a bad scare.
And to go through that when, and you look at yourself and you go, I've done this to myself, right, all because I wanted my thighs
to
be
like
thinner.
Did you have one thing that really screwed me up for a long time is I had a weight number in my head that was unattainable. And I had this thing where I probably weighed like 118, but I had this thing in my head where I've got to weigh 110. And so it made me like, I wrote about this in my first book, but I really struggled with bulimia and I kept thinking, I've got to get to 110. And I was, you know, in my 20s, and I probably weighed 110 when I was in high school or something. Mm-hmm. So it was really great. I finally had a really good therapist who said, what if you weighed 117? And I remember thinking, oh, I could do that. And I kind of, that was like a good sort of mantra to remember because 118 wasn't even overweight. So she probably thought I was insane. But in my head, I don't know why I had this number of 110 and it just, I would be like half dead. So I just was going, all right, be comfortable with a normal weight. And I will say I lost a ton of weight after the Trump thing. And it's weird to lose weight unintentionally when you're older because it's not cute. Like your whole life, you're like, oh, I want to lose weight. But when you lose, I lost like 15 pounds in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And I looked in the mirror and I went, oh, this is not what I thought. I don't look like anyone from the magazines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look like someone who's really sick.
Coming out of Kathy Griffin, we're going right into another superstar. Brooke Burke was with us yesterday, who like every guy, I realize, fantasized about a lot in the 90s and 2000s.
When I walked into my apartment yesterday, everybody was like, ooh, how is Brooke Burke? And they were all jerking off and stuff.
Yeah, she was a foxy lady in studio. Ian, what do you have? Any feelings about her?
Lots of feelings.
Okay.
I don't live in Tom's apartment, but I was
leg is shaking vigorously.
Yeah. Yep. I'm very excited with the images.
Just the mere
in my
thought
head.
Of her.
No, I had a poster of her on my wall when
That's
I was younger.
That's so cool. And then Rosebud Baker was also there, first time guest on the show, and she absolutely killed it. This was
Love
an episode.
Rosebud.
This whole episode was such a delight. You can listen to it on demand on the SiriusXM app. You need a Sirius subscription, which, guess what? Not as expensive as you think. Look into it, guys.
Get it for yourself. yourself for Christmas. You earned it.
Yeah. If you listen to this podcast, why not just like be able to listen to so many more things that we talk about? We really get into stuff. But this is us talking to Brooke Burke about challenging yourself. And we talk a little dancing too. I'm not going to lie. You're someone, I love hearing that about you because I recently took on a challenge as well that scared me to death, but I was like, it gave me so much adrenaline.
Yeah.
And now I'm like searching. Literally, I was talking about your show Wild On because I'm like, I want to do more of what I just did because I just did, I don't know if you know this, I just was on Dancing with the Stars this past season. And I got first voted off.
That's amazing.
Yes. I faced my fears. I've never danced in my whole life. You won season 7.
First of all, I'm embarrassed to say that I'm not watching the show anymore. Don't worry.
I love that you said that before because I was like, I'm going to tell her I'm on it.
But can I make you feel better? I got the lowest scores of all time in semifinal history of Dancing with the Stars. So even though I won, semifinals... And I forgot the dance, like crickets, and it was so bad that I couldn't get back into it. And my producers are like, "Yes, this is amazing television." I'm like, "Oh my god, I just humiliated myself in front of the whole world."
Oh, it feels like everything.
But hey, kind of awesome to go first. At least you have like.
I know you're
laughing about it and finding humor in it.
It was devastating because if you've been in the system of Dancing with the Stars a month prior to even going, everyone's like, why are you so wrapped up to it that you were gone immediately? I was like, I was dancing for a month up until that.
The whole show is terrifying.
And it is, your life becomes dancing with the fucking stars. Yeah. And it is all nothing day. Else. The Kavanaugh trials happened during the dancing practice. And I got out of dancing and I was like, what is you're this like, Kavanaugh who? Thing? Yeah. I didn't know anything.
Yeah, you're in a bubble. It's terrifying. It was the hardest
you
thing ever.
You won. What was it like winning? I lost the most you could lose.
I'm sorry.
I was the furthest one from what you did. Yeah. How did it feel?
It was thrilling and amazing and super scary and harder than childbirth 4 times and one of the most amazing life lessons ever. And I remember being on Derek's shoulders, holding up the Mirrorball trophy and crying, and they were not like tears of joy. I was so happy
relief.
That it was
relief.
Over. Because this is my daughter just walked in. We're on a mother-daughter trip. Hi, baby. It was amazing and challenging, and I learned so much from that show, and exciting and hard and crazy. And I kept saying to myself every time I would go out there, why do I keep choosing these crazy-ass jobs? And like, what am I doing?
Yes.
Because I couldn't remember which foot left or right every time.
If I would have lasted any longer on the show, I mean, I was dying too. I loved it so much. I think they got rid of me thinking that I didn't really like it that much or because I was having a really hard time because I'm a bad dancer. But I loved it so much. But it is truly the hardest thing I've ever done. And I was off first. You had to learn 20 more dances than I did over a very short amount of time. The stress is unimaginable. But you're so right about that crying after winning. Because I was at the finale and I saw all the finalists. And all I could think for them was like, you're done.
Yeah.
Aren't you so glad? Like, I know you didn't, 3 of them didn't win, but I'm like, aren't you glad you're
major,
done?
Major,
won?
Life commitment. I don't know another show that's a 7-day commitment. So, you know, mind, body, you're broken down.
Wow. It's every day.
It's
really
practice
hard.
Every day? You practice every day or you're blocking and then you have performance days. So it was like 3 months of my life every single day. And, you know, coming out of that, I was like, there's nothing that I can't do.
That's what I felt.
Like when you're like, I don't have time. I'm like, no. You can do anything you want to do.
That's what I said as soon as because I said that even before we went live. I was like, because I'm doing the show and it's the most terrifying thing because I don't dance and I don't know how to do any of this and I'm going to be in like a leotard on TV. And I was just like, if I can do this, I can literally do anything. And that's what I learned from it. But I've been saying now I face my fears and my fears punch me in the face.
They tell you what to do and that's how you grow. So good for you. And seeking that like adrenaline, that peak experience, good or bad, it's hard to find things in life where you're just, that blow you away and surprise you, right?
Yeah, I just didn't. I signed up being like, I just don't want to be voted off first. And that won't happen. Like, how could you, no one gets voted off first. I think I said
sorry.
No one gets voted off first. And it's like, yes, they do. That's like, someone has to. And it's
so
not
would
gonna,
you, would I you dance
gonna
again?
Yes, I pitched them a loser season already where I'm like, ooh, I want to come back to redeem a redemption season with all the people who are first footed off.
I like that.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I love that because everybody wants a second chance, right? That, yes.
I'm dying, dying for a loser season. I'm glad to have your support, Brooke and Rosebud. Thank you. let's do it.
I'm behind it. I was a dancer growing up, and I think it is so hard. Yeah, I was a 7 days a week every day after high school. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
But I quit because I was like, this is actually way too hard.
And to round out the show this week, we had Ron Funches in studio today with Ian Fidance. And Ron has a podcast. Ron has a podcast. Ron has a podcast called Getting Better. I took out the G.
Getting better.
With Ron Funches. And so getting better,
it's getting better.
Okay. Getting better with Ron Funches.
That's right.
It's exhausting to not pronounce that G.
Yeah. Throw in that G,
and
Ron.
I feel stupid saying, yeah, come on, let's get the G back in there.
Take out the other G too. Why make it etting better, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Why take out one G and not the other?
Etting better.
Seems a little, you know, it's a real, what is it, Sophie's Choice or whatever?
Yeah, Sophie's Choice of G's.
How did you pick which G?
Getting Better is the name of this podcast, and I just talked to him a little bit about what that looks like, because that's my goal, is to get better. And here's our conversation with good old Ron Funches. You have a podcast about getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called?
It's called Getting Better.
Getting Better with Ron Funches. And I want to talk to you about it.
You put that extra G in there because you're so white.
It's called
Getting Better.
Well, let me just say that I did not type this up. It was Jen who typed it up with a G. She is black, okay? So she added the G. So it's called Getting Better with Ron Funches, and it's a podcast in which I'm guessing you talk about getting better
at all aspects of life. So we have people come on who are good writers, like Bill Lawrence, or good comedians, or just good at wrestling or whatever, and we just talked about their struggle from what, you know, where they started to where they are now and how they're still trying to get better, because I think that's a thing that people with celebrity or talent, they try to use it as a way to separate you. You know, they're like, oh, I could never do that. You're so talented. I could never do that. And what I find is that usually we're all kind of the same, and these people just have a drive to achieve, and you go step by step. So if you look at the finished product, of course you never think, like when you want to be a stand-up, if you're watching Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Tig Notaro all the time, you're like, I could never do that. Go to an open mic, you're like, oh, fuck, I could do this.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Yep.
And that's what we just kind of talk about on my podcast with just about with everything, whether it's like weight loss and stuff like that.
It's, you're right. It's when you, the comparing yourself, and I'm trying to get better myself, and I'm reading this book about cognitive behavioral therapy, which is kind of, I've related, now that it's opened my eyes to so many things, exactly what you're saying, when you compare yourself to people who are like, why would I compare myself to Dave Chappelle? I've never done stand-up comedy. I'm thinking about it and I'm watching him. That's black and white thinking of like, if I can't be him, then I'm not worth doing it.
Exactly.
And cognitive behavioral therapy like traces so many of your thoughts that lead to your emotions, which lead to being able to do things and being motivated. So like, it all starts with your thought of what you're telling yourself about a situation. But you're right, like, I feel like comedians, a lot of times we like to pat ourselves on the back like there's something special about us, but I think a lot of people could be funny and get up there and do it. They just have to do it. And there's blocks other than talent.
Absolutely. But I feel like it doesn't matter what industry it is, you know, it's just about what do you want to do? What are your natural talents like? Like, because I couldn't be a great basketball player, no matter how hard I tried,
right,
you know? But my talents naturally lie in comedy, and then you just expound on those talents. But that doesn't mean that I'm better than anyone or different than anyone. It's just you find your niche and you work hard at it.
What if, Ron, what if I'm not good at anything? What if there's someone who's just like not gonna,
well, I know that's not
gonna
true.
Be the, well, not me, but what if there's someone who just hasn't found anything they're good at or talented at, and they're like, well,
how old are they?
Let's say they're like 40.
They're 40?
And they're like,
the
they
struggle.
Feel, yeah.
Let's see. Well, I mean, I think there's a thing that becomes, you don't have to be a superstar.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
There are talents that aren't comedy, that aren't sports. You could be a great teacher. You could be a great
listener.
You could be a great customer. To me, customer service is such a low here, especially in America. If you are great at customer service, you're doing a really good service for the world. You're making people's lives better.
That's a
great point. Appreciated. Yeah, I like the last couple of nice customer service people. I've made a point to be like, how can I like help you? Like, how can I like, can I call somebody or like leave a review for you or something? Yeah. Because it's so important.
And you're right. It's like, I think now especially we've just come to expect such shit from that. That when you are super great, they, I remember those people and they stay with you and they, and you can, that's a, just because you work at Starbucks and you hate your job and you hate dealing with all these people who expect their coffee and you're getting paid, like not enough, like if you're, if you could give some kindness onto someone and not be a, like I can take that with me being the cunt at Starbucks that's waiting on my drink. Like I've left a Starbucks being like, oh my God, that person just made me feel better about my day because they seem to be in such a great mood. That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, I often focus on that when I feel, when I compare myself to other comedians or whatever, and I go, like, I'll never be that good. Like, even in the thing that I'm good at. Yeah. And then I go, well, and I was talking about this the other day, then I go, I'm a really good friend. I'm, like, one of the best friends. And so it's like, yeah, I'll never win an award for that, maybe, but I'm going to, like, celebrate that with myself. Like, you got to find something on a maybe a micro level or just a very personal level. Like, I'm good at I'm sure a lot of people are out there are good moms and dads in their own way.
That's the thing I'm most proud of.
Yeah, like, tell me about that.
More than comedy, more than anything. I'm proud of being a good dad. I'm proud that I, like, gone from living on a, like a dirty mattress and having a 2-year-old son and didn't know how to take care of him till now we have a home and he's walking around his pool like he owns it.
Yeah.
And he's got a cocky little attitude.
Yeah.
And he's going around there with a Christmas list that is a mile long and he knows he's gonna get almost all of it. And that makes me happy as shit.
Yeah. So you have a lot of pride in being a father. I mean, obviously, that's what I hear when you become a parent. It's like that becomes priority.
And depends on person.
Yeah. How did it change you?
It just changed me from I didn't have much drive. I didn't have also much care for myself. I didn't think I deserved certain things. I just was like floating through life and whatever I'm handed is fine. And when I had my son, it became of like, okay, these standards changed for me, whereas like, you know, taking gravity bong hits and sleeping on a mattress with no sheet was fine for me. When I knew I was going to have a kid, I was like, I can't bring my son into this type of environment.
Yeah,
I have to have a career. I need to have some money, especially when I found out my son had a disability and had autism. It was like, oh, I need to make money that might be able to take care of him after I'm dead. So I gotta
hustle.
Do stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I often think, I remember that, not to bring him up, but I remember Louis C.K. saying that when he had kids, he went from doing the same 45 minutes on the road for 10 years, just doing club after club, to being like, no, I have to start really, that's when like we all started finding out about Louis C.K. because he started working harder because he was like, I have kids now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to get some of those.
Yeah. Sometimes kids will do it.
I need some kind of motivating thing. You know, when you buy a house, something that's like, well, I got to pay this. Like, I need that thing.
Yeah. Keep leveling yourself up so you don't feel like you can relax. It's important. But also, I mean, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You do so much.
I do so
much. You sell out shows all over the place. You were on the Dancing with the Stars. How many other comedians were on that show ever?
Most of them turned it down. I will say that.
I didn't say that. I said how many were on the show ever.
Good point. Margaret Cho and Jeff Ross are the ones that I know.
Wow, so three comedians.
Yeah.
You were the second female comedian.
Yes.
Ever. There were only one guy, so I guess Jeff Ross should really actually take the credit there.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot, but it's like,
trailblazer.
I still, I'm very much at a point in my life where it's like, I've never felt so busy and so like respected and like all the things that I've always wanted in my career, but it's like, I'm not saying I'm not happy, because I am happy, but I like the idea of your podcast because I'm eager to get better. Like, I want to be.
Then why did you turn it down?
Why did I turn your podcast down?
Yeah.
When did I turn it down?
No, you turned it down because you were going to be going to New York.
Okay. Yeah. I'm actually going to be in LA next week if you're there, and I'll totally do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sweet.
booking just occurred. Listen to me on Getting Better with Ron Funches on iTunes. Okay, tell me about your special giggle fit. Getting better.
Thank you.
Giggle fit. I took the E out of the giggle.
We got better with Ron Funches. That was a good talk.
We're all fixed.
What?
We're all fixed now.
We're all fixed better. Now.
Yep.
I just think the goal of this week is just, I'm just trying to stay present. No past, no future. Just like in the moment, because that's all I can control. And I don't even have control of the moment. I literally don't know what I'm going to say next, right now. Yeah. No, yes, I do.
Yeah, you have that all written down.
There's no free will. That's my new thing. I'm really into, like, there's no free will.
You have to try to live like you're breathing. You don't even realize that you're doing it.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm getting into.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, thank you for listening to the podcast this week. This is the U Up Podcast. We have a show every day on Sirius XM for 2 hours every morning, 10 to 12 Eastern, Monday through Thursday on Channel 95. So if you have Sirius or you have a rental car, you can check us out on that. Any secrets this week? Ooh.
Secrets. Somebody told me last night not to eat a certain plate of food. Yeah, a certain pussy. And I just couldn't help myself. I was hungry. I needed nutrients. No, I ate a bunch of... I ate all their calamari. But it was they got it for free. They'll get more.
Oh, calamari is so good. I really miss that. I remember hearing that they were just pig anuses cut up. Like some
made me like it more.
Some restaurants
they do look like that.
They do.
Some
they have
restaurants
the same,
do that.
They
yeah.
do that because calamari. But calamari is not that expensive, so there's no reason to really.
My grandmother
to fuck
lied to me and told me they were French fries because she used to try to get me to eat calamari and I never wanted to. And she told me they're French fries.
Little did you know that you.
And then when I ate it, she goes, "It's calamari."
How good are they? They're like rubbery. I love. That's the one food I miss so much about being vegan.
It's like
calamari.
I only started to enjoy it when I was an adult.
Yes, it's an acquired taste. Get into calamari.
Yeah. And it's more calories than you think. Yeah. Like eating ass. Yeah.
Calamari is calories?
Oh, yeah.
It's just a protein.
It's breaded.
Oh, fried calamari. Yeah, I always get grilled.
Stuffed grilled calamari.
Oof.
Ooh,
We could talk calamari all day, but we gotta go. Thanks for listening to the podcast, guys. Rate, subscribe, review, tell your friends. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.